Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we're going to conclude our discussion about the importance of culture in organizational life. Andy, we began this conversation on last month's podcast by looking at three of the six behaviors that create our staff culture. We're going to get into the last three today, but before we do, just remind our listeners why this is an important conversation.
Yeah, as we said last month, this began as a reevaluation of our organizational values that then led to a conversation around what are the things that if we continue to do them well in terms of personal behavior and staff behavior that will keep us between the guardrails in terms of mission, vision, proper use of resources. You know, what are the behaviors that we should expect of each other? And every organization has a set of behaviors that they come to assume is just normal standard operating procedure. In some cases, there are things that leaders wish could be changed. In other cases, everything's working fine. And the problem is when everything's working fine, nobody really knows why oftentimes because we're not very good at evaluating success. We only have evaluation meetings when things go wrong for the most part. So we thought it was important because our organization's growing. We're bringing in new leaders all the time, young leaders, and to hand them a list to say, hey, here's how we do it here.
Right.
You have to do that to some extent, but we wanted to involve our new generation of leaders in a discussion about why we do what we do and what we think is critical to our success in terms of how we behave with each other. And so that began the discussion, and we landed on six what we call staff behaviors, and we call it a covenant because it's a mutually agreed upon arrangement. So last month, we talked about the first three, and today we'll talk about the next three.
So if this is really your first time to listen to the podcast, you really need to go back and listen to last month because we talk about the first three. We talk about take it personally, make it better, and collaborate and in depth on that. And today we're going to move on to the next three.
Yeah, I actually think if this is your first time to tune in, you should go back and listen to all 60 of the leadership podcast
well,
to catch
too,
up.
Yeah. let's move on to the final three. Behavior number four is replace ourselves.
The idea behind replace ourselves is that in a healthy organization, if you replace yourself, you'll always have a place. This is really goes back to our original value years ago about apprenticing, that we wanted every leader to be able to look over their shoulder and see somebody coming along that we think could take their place. Because in a healthy, growing organization, people are going to move up and people have to fill in. And in great organizations, you always have to go outside the organization for certain positions. But in a healthy organization, you basically are bringing people up from within. You know, if you want to change your culture, bring somebody in from the outside. Mm-hmm. If you want to reinforce your culture, you bring people up and promote them and give them greater opportunity. So we want every leader at every level of organization to come here with the goal of one day replacing themselves. Now that's, if that strikes fear in the heart of someone, well, hey, if I replace myself, will I have a place? Well, in a healthy, growing organization, if you replace yourself, you'll probably always have a place because leaders who attract leaders are the leaders you can't afford to lose.
Right.
So we just wanted to really instill this value at every level in the organization. So we've just said, we want you to replace yourself. Find someone that you can begin pouring into. As you've heard us say before, you know, we can't fill anybody's cup, but we can empty ours. And we just think every leader is responsible at some level, hopefully within our organization, of emptying their cup into the leader coming along behind them. And again, we've had great success with this. And, you know, part of our growth and the fact that we've been able to keep leaders a long time has a great deal to do with the fact that we've invested in them, but not just at the corporate, official sit them in rooms meeting our level, but all of our primary leaders have somebody that's coming along behind them that they're pouring into. So we wanted to document this, so it's replace yourself.
Andy, we've gone the extra step of attaching a question to each one of these behaviors. And the question we attach to replace ourselves is, who am I empowering?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I should be able to look around and in my case, three or four people to say, who am I continuing to hand off responsibility to? Who am I continuing to empower in terms of giving them actual responsibility, moving into a coaching role? And again, when you hear this, again, depending on your organization, your size of the organization, where you are in terms of maturity as an organization, this can be a little frustrating. But I would say to all of our listeners, regardless of where you are and regardless of the industry you're in, if you take this idea and set it in front of you, you will discover that you have more opportunity to do this than you may think. The whole idea of thinking about who's going to replace you. This is not succession planning. This isn't about you leaving and somebody stepping in. This is about somebody that you can hand off more and more responsibility to. So the question is, who am I empowering? Not who's working for me, who am I empowering?
That brings us to our fifth behavior. And Andy, I think that to some of our podcast listeners, this one's going to sound a little strange. The behavior is stay fit.
Yeah, I introduced this to the discussion when we were having these discussions. And I remember there was a pause like, what does that have to do with our organization, stay fit? And what are you talking about? And here's the idea. Our personal lives come to work with us. They just do. You can say I left my marriage at home, but no, your marriage, for better or for worse,
right,
healthy or unhealthy, comes to work with you. Your physical body comes to work with you. Your emotional health comes to work with you. Your anger over something that has nothing to do with work comes to work with you. And so, you know, we're just going to be a better staff if everybody takes personal responsibility for their personal lives and stays fit. Now, the pushback is, well, Andy, you know, is that really anybody's business? Well, yes and no, because we all know in an extreme level, I can do something personally that takes me out of this organization. And the more responsibility anyone has in an organization, the more other people suffer. I could make a bad decision morally, and as a result, people lose their jobs because if the growth of the organization or the health of the organization or the income of the organization is negatively impacted by a personal decision I make, it becomes very much a business decision or an organizational decision for people who lose their jobs. So again, depending on the amount of responsibility a person carries, the more important this is. So I just wanted to say to our leadership team, and then for that to trickle down through the whole organization, let's all decide that we are going to stay fit. Now, to help with that, and lots of great organizations do this, we offer all kinds of services and help to our staff in terms of financial counseling. We've done fitness things, you know, and none of that's unique. But again, we've offered things to say, we want to help you because this is important, and it's not just important to you personally, although that is a great value. It really affects us organizationally because my personal life intersects with your work life, and consequently, I need to take that seriously. So that was the whole idea behind Stay Fit.
We attached a kind of an all-encompassing question to this. It says, how am I taking care of myself spiritually, physically, relationally, financially, and emotionally?
Yeah, this was the list. And again, we tried to shorten it because we don't like long questions, but this is an important question. In fact, as you listen today, think about this question as I ask you, how are you taking care of yourself spiritually, physically, relationally, financially, and emotionally? And again, you know this because you're a leader. You bring all those components of yourself to work, and so does everybody else in your organization. So I think this is a really, really important question as it relates to this very, very important behavior. And because we've brought it up to the surface, to, you know, to the top level of discussion, it allows us to delve into those things. We feel like we've given ourselves permission. There is a strong sense of personal accountability in our organization because you realize that what happens to me personally impacts you professionally and vice versa. So you have permission to ask me some of those questions. And you have to be careful with this because every organization and industry is a little bit different. And there are laws that, you know, impact some of these discussions. But the inescapable truth is we bring ourselves to work, all of ourselves. And so consequently, if I really care about you and if I really care about my organization, I'm going to stay fit.
Andy, as we come to the last behavior, this one was a little different because we said this two or three different ways in our conversations.
Yep.
And so before we say exactly how we ended up saying it, talk about the behavior that we were discussing.
Well, in a growing organization, there's change. And one thing about leaders, you hand us something to do and we own it. I mean, we wrap our hands around it and say, you know, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to take authority. I'm going to make this better. I'm going to build a staff around it. I'm going to stake my claim. I'm going to build a career around it. You know, I'm going to do my best with this. But in a changing organization, responsibilities change. And so we wanted to come up with a behavior or some terminology that reminded everyone in our organization that as the organization grows and changes, responsibilities grow and change. And we have to be open to that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, when it's your responsibility, I want you to own it. But when we give that responsibility to somebody else, you got to let go of it. And again, some personalities thrive on change. For other personalities, it is paralyzing. And that is not an issue of maturity. It really is the way that we're wired. So we wanted to come up with terminology that allowed us to have an ongoing discussion about the importance of being open to change and facilitating change, not panicking, not, you know, when things begin to change. Change always creates tension. It always creates tension. Even for the people who love change, there's always tension around change. Right. So we wanted to create terminology that allowed us to talk about that tension, to say it's a reality, it's unavoidable, it's okay, but we're going to change. And so that's where we landed with this final and sixth behavior, which is?
Remain open-handed.
Remain open-handed. The idea of remaining open-handed is that when I'm tempted to close my hands, when the world around me begins to change, and I sense that thing inside of me that something's being taken away, and that, you know, I don't know how this is going to work, and I don't know how this is going to impact me financially or professionally, we just want to make a habit of remaining open-handed. And this is very, very difficult to do, especially in turbulent times. Mm-hmm. But every leader listening to this knows the value of that. If you're surrounded by people who, again, when it's their responsibility, they own it, but as the world begins to change, they're willing to let go of it, that's just a healthy habit. And we wanted to be able to talk about that because in a growing organization, there's constant change. So the value of this behavior is to remind us to pay attention to that internal tension. When I begin to feel that sense of, oh no, and I'm resisting, and I'm having imaginary conversations with people, and I go home and, you know, the world's coming to an end, to say, wait a minute, this is that thing. This is that moment. This is that time. I'm feeling that internal tension, and I'm going to remain open-handed.
Andy, in our discussion, I remember you brought a quote in from a book you were reading by Bob Goff.
Yeah. In his book, Love Does, he writes this. This was so powerful. And really, we were probably 3 weeks into this discussion when I ran across this in the book. It just coincided. Here's what he writes. He's an attorney. He says, sometimes my clients have to be deposed, which means they're the ones asked questions by the other guys, the other lawyers. It can feel intimidating with a room full of lawyers all staring at you. So when my clients are being deposed, I tell them all the same thing each time. This is so powerful. He says, sit in the chair and answer the questions, but do it with your hands palms up the whole time. I tell them to literally have the backs of their hands on their knees and their palms toward the bottom of the table. Now, let me pause before I finish mm-hmm. this. This is such a powerful exercise, and some of our listeners are doing this right now. and you will experience something that's so powerful. I don't know why I've never heard this before, but it goes right to the heart of this whole issue of experiencing change with an internal perspective that allows you to do better through change or threatening circumstances in his case. So here's how he finishes up. He says this, when their palms are up, they have an easier time being calm, honest, and accurate. And this is important because it's harder for them to get defensive. When people get angry or defensive, they tend to make mistakes, but nobody can be defensive with their palms up. Palms up means you are strong enough to be vulnerable, even with your enemies, even when you have been tremendously wronged. So I have done this so many times, and it is amazing how that one physical exercise impacts you emotionally. He's right. It's very difficult to remain angry with your palms open, with your hands open, with your palms up. So again, the whole idea of leading open-handed goes back to this. I don't want to be defensive. I don't want to be so protective of my turf or my responsibility that I miss an opportunity or that I hold the organization back because I'm not willing to change because I'm just so accustomed to doing what I've always done. So this is a really, really important behavior for us. It was the most difficult one. We talked about this the most. We knew this was an important idea, but we just had a hard time coming up with the terminology. And this is the one that requires the most explanation.
Yeah, and the question that we added to this final one was, how do I manage the tension triggered by new ideas, innovation, and change?
Yeah. And that, again, that's a question we answer to ourselves. Mm. How do I manage the tension? Because change brings tension. How do I manage the tension triggered by new ideas, innovation, and change? We just want to give our staff a heads up that when it comes, it's normal. You're responsible for how you handle it. Open up those hands. And let's see what'll happen, and let's be an organization that can move into the future. For those who love the change and for those who don't, let's remain open-handed.
Andy, as we conclude this podcast and this whole discussion, any final thoughts?
I would just say what I did last month. That is, you know, as you listen to this, you know, your mind's racing. You're hearing this information through the filter of your organization. You know, these are some great ideas. Of course, we think they are. These are some great questions. But the process in your organization your division, your department, your branch, you know, wherever you are, the process is so important. So if there is a way to create a discussion around what are the behaviors that make our organization great, how do we document them, and what are some questions, it's just a great process. Very time consuming, but I'm telling you, you know, after weeks and weeks and or several months of discussion, and as we said last month, we had these discussions at every level in the organization. Our leadership team would leave our discussion, go have a similar discussion. They'd bring ideas back. So when I stood up in front of our staff, we have about 420 full-time equivalents, and said, hey, as you know, we as an organization have been in a discussion around what are the behaviors that make us who we are and what are the behaviors that we want to hand down to the next generation. They had all been to some extent in the discussion. And so to get up and talk about these six things and these six questions, it's so powerful. And then one of our creative folks created a cube. I wish we could hold it up to the microphone so everyone could see it. A cube with all with each of these words on it. And it's a big, probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 inch cube. And everybody in the organization got one to put on their desk. Right. And so you can see these six words. It's just a reminder of, hey, this is how we behave here. And it was just a way to reinforce that. So it was a great exercise, and we continue to benefit greatly from it.
Andy, thanks for taking the time with us today, and thanks to our audience for listening. To hear more Leadership Podcast content, check out the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast Collection USB resource that includes all 12 of the monthly podcast MP3s from 2011 or 2012, plus a bonus feature leadership video. Visit andystanley.com to learn more.